Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. Today, we have a special guest. We have Josh Hudson. Josh is the Chief Marketing Officer of I Build Your Brand, an agency that handles client relations, copywriting, funnel creation, and digital marketing for the Gen Z and millennial generations. So, Josh, why don't you give us the backstory of how you got involved with I Build Your Brand and what you're doing today?
Okay. I'll try to give you the quickest elevator pitch I can because I can make my story super long. First off, thank you for having me on. It's good to have two Joshes on today. The quickest backstory I could give you in a summary is I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. Was that kid in elementary school selling candy on the bus, you know, but did quite well in school. And when I was 18, very tragic event happened to me. And I'm 24 now, by the way, so I might be one of the youngest people on this podcast, not sure. But when I was 18, my father passed away, and it sent me down a pretty rough spiral. And I ended up trying to search for that thing in life that was going to make me happy. And one of the things that really spoke to me was following that untrodden path of entrepreneurship that the system in terms of the government and the school system had laid out for me, right? So I didn't want to do that. And I searched around, and I ended up finding this person that really spoke to me, both as a genuine, intelligent, and just overall amazing human being. And her name was Elizabeth Herrera. And I ended up going to one of her masterminds, spending a majority of my money, so my student loans, and met her and began working for her. Worked for 2 years, showed my value, did as good as I could. And it didn't take too long before she realized that I was a great compliment to her and a just an incredibly hard worker. And so she decided to bring me on as a partner. And, you know, from 18 to now being 24, we've been together. And now we have an incredibly successful business together. And, you know, I work to help her in any way that I can. She's a CEO, I'm the COO, and we're kind of like peanut butter and jelly.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I really want to explore during this podcast. And during this show, you could also give the backstory of how we met, which I think is very interesting. But I think that that's what people want to hear, because we usually talk to owners, founders, authors, speakers, but you being the systemizer of Elizabeth's business and growing it from 7 to 8 figures and how you're able to take an entrepreneur's vision and put it into practice, I think will be really cool for our audience to hear about. So what was it like in the beginning? Maybe the business was, I'm going to guess, all over the place. And what have you done to kind of get it systemized?
Okay, there's a couple things there. So when I first started working for her, and I think this is valuable because it might show some entrepreneurs, you know, what they should do when hiring. What we sometimes in our company refer to as Spartans. They're the people that, you know, are quite intelligent, very hardworking, ambitious, and willing to work very hard without much reward in the beginning in the pursuit of a future benefit, right? Very stoic in a sense. And so when she hired me, she just put me to work with almost no managerial guidance, just kind of let me do my thing, told me what she wanted the outcome to be, and then saw how I was going to achieve that and let me do my own thing. She provided a little bit of mentoring and guidance here, but for the most part, she just wanted to see how hard I could work, how I could figure things out and what outcome I could achieve. And so for the first year and a half of working for her, there was a lot of things, but one of the main things that I did was just write press releases for her Amazon products. She was an Amazon seller at the time. She was doing 7 figures a year on Amazon.com through FBA, that platform. And she wanted me to write press releases. And I believe I wrote over 1,000 press releases, perhaps 2,000. I have the exact number somewhere. But it was a tremendous number of press releases, averaging 500 words per press release. And I mean, she just wanted to see how hard I could grind it out. It was a lot of work. And I did a lot of things on the side too. This was before I'd ever read Work the System, but I began creating systems just because intuitively, I could save myself time and produce more by creating small systems on the side. And, over time, she just saw how hard of a worker I was and the results I was bringing, and that I complimented her in that sense. I was very different than her in a lot of ways. And she ended up bringing me on as a partner. Now, being a partner, that's where things got a bit different. I had equity in the business now. And have you ever messaged somebody, or have you ever gotten texts from somebody, of a person like this in your life, where you can tell who's texting you just by the frequency of buzzes your phone is giving you, zzz, 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 over and over? She's that kind of person, right? One thought is produced in 28, 30 text messages, right? So there's a lot of texts coming and it's all just one thought. I'm completely different. I will send you a 7,000 word email with one message though, you know, very different. And, you know, that's just how her brain works. She's incredibly brilliant. I don't know if she has an IQ test, but it would be off the charts, just like a lot of very successful CEOs are. And she's very creative and has incredible ideas. She's the kind of person that has ideas and can spot opportunities in the market so quickly, and it's with such frequency, it's incredible. She's made $1 million all over the place since she was 20 years old. She made $1 million selling Pokemon cards in the 1990s. She made $1 million coding bots on laptops in her dorm room that would pick up digital money on the Sims. Made $1 million that way. You know, she made $1 million selling info products, doing day trading. She's all over the place. And that's her being a serial entrepreneur, and she loves it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, she's made millions of dollars. But her thoughts are very much like how she texts, right? They're kind of all over the place, and there's a lot of scattered ideas that work. And so that's how working with her in the beginning was. There was a lot of different ideas, not a whole lot of organization, not a whole lot of systemization. And so I came in as a complete opposite and a complete complement. And we began to work together to take her ideas and her execution on those ideas and begin systemizing and begin hiring a lot of VAs in the Philippines, for example, and creating a lot of systems with a lot of tools that I think we can talk about some of those tools and how they're very valuable. And using those to make these businesses hands off so that we could make them basically work on their own with very little management and then move on to the next thing, which made her all the more happy. She got to explore more ideas instead of trying out 20 of them half-ass or doing one at a time and being sad she couldn't do the rest, right? And it's worked beautifully. As an example, both of our Amazon businesses on FBA, we barely touch them. I mean, maybe 15 to 30 minutes of work per week if it's a rough week, you know? And they don't do nearly as well as they could if it had our full divided attention. But, you know, she wants to do a lot of things. We want to do a lot of things. And we have a bunch of fairly successful small businesses. And that's what it's like working with her. And the compliment's just been incredible.
So for someone listening to this who either is the serial entrepreneur with tons of ideas or they're second in command dealing with someone like that, how do you tell when an idea is worth putting into a system, it's going to be repeatable, versus an idea that is probably going to get thrown away tomorrow or be a one-time thing? So mm-hmm. There's no point in actually putting this into a repeatable process. How can you tell?
That's a great question. You know, I would say for the most part, most business ideas can be systemized. Let's just throw that out there. There are very few businesses that can't be systemized. An example of something that couldn't be systemized that we've explored, this has happened maybe two or three times, but things like cryptocurrency trading, right? Requires a lot of your undivided attention. There isn't a whole lot you don't really want to trust bots, for example. You don't want to trust a virtual assistant with it. You might want to trust a really expert hedge fund or something, but that's the kind of thing you kind of have to be there for, and it's not very systemizable, and it's a lot of a trend. So if it seems as if it's going to be a short-term trend, and sometimes you can't tell until it's too late, but that's the kind of thing you can't systemize and you might want to consider staying away from, unless you just enjoy it so much, then you want to do it on the side. And that's one of the things, you know, I want to stress here is that, you know, a lot of this is about scaling and building your business, but sometimes it's just about having fun too. And that's why we have so many businesses, is you want to have a happy life. And you know, things like cryptocurrency for a while when it was at its peak, that was a fun thing to do. But it was a great way to lose money as well, you know? And another example would be there was a lot of people going into PPE and selling medical supplies here around the coronavirus, you know? Mm-hmm. Something's evolving so quickly, seems like such a trend, oftentimes a pipe dream. It might be something you want to stay away from. Now, when it comes to the rest of the ideas that are probably systemizable, with, like I said, just about anything is systemizable, then what I tend to do is we have all these ideas, we sit down, and as the CEO, as second in command, I kind of have to force the sit down, right? Let's sit down, let's have this meeting, let's plan a time, let's make a commitment to have this conversation. I'll have a document ready ahead of time with the questions that I want to ask, with my ideas that are always playing devil's advocate and always pointing out all the things that could possibly go wrong. I consider myself a bit of an optimist. However, when I'm going into these meetings and these conversations, I want to consider the worst case scenario. You know, what is the most we can lose? And with a lot of our ideas like drop shipping or arbitrage, for example, there isn't a whole lot you can lose because you can do things like returns or liquidate. And you know, we just want to consider these ideas ahead of time. So we'll sit down and we'll have these strategic meetings. And again, I will play devil's advocate in a non-threatening way. Oftentimes we'll say, hey, I think this idea is brilliant, which it usually is. However, what if this happens? We don't want to, one of the main things I look at is I don't want something to consume all of our time. If it's a financial risk, that's fine. We can make more money. But if this thing is like consulting with a client and I'm like, what if they are going to require 30 hours of your time a week? Try to stay away from that, right? And so I really stress those things. And the thing to her that's most valuable is her time. And so that's the kind of thing that I'll bring up when playing devil's advocate. And if we decide that it's an idea worth exploring, which, you know, we probably cut out 50% of the ideas, if not more, then we will begin to explore it in a very MVP type way, you know, a minimal viable product, see how we can spend as little time as possible and test the idea. And before we do that, we'll actually set out a document, much like a strategic identity document, and do, you know, our expectations, the responsibilities, and set some preliminary goals and milestones. And so those usually come with deadlines, but one of the biggest things is setting those expectations and responsibilities. That's been so important to us. Here's what each of us are responsible for handling. Here's what the rest of our team is responsible for handling. Let's get these things done and stay committed to these responsibilities and expectations in the timeline allotted and see how it does. If it doesn't work, we drop it, it's no big deal. We might've lost a couple thousand dollars, we'll move on to the next thing. And we can always make it back with the rest of the businesses that are already systemized, right? Now, if it works, then, and it's making a great profit, then we'll explore it further. We'll use a lot of different tools to start building systems, try to scale it, and just treat it as a real business going forward. But before that, it's all testing and strategizing and thinking about what could go wrong before executing on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So the person that you're working with as a second in command, do they like these devil's advocate sessions, or does that really bother them where you're crushing half their ideas?
I don't think it's pleasant. I don't think anyone wants their ideas, you know, crushed. And that's actually why I mentioned handling these devil advocate sessions and these worst case scenario sessions in a very gentle and in a very gentle way. You know, for one, my business partner is somewhat emotional so one of the big important things here is having self-awareness and having awareness of what each person is at heart, right? So it would be preposterous for my business partner, Liz, again, one of the most amazing people I've met in my entire life. You'll never meet a person with more integrity, a person who cares about other people more. For her to try and build systems would be a ridiculous idea. It's just not in her blood, you know? And having me as a compliment, my self-awareness is I've got a computer brain. I've got a very programmatic mind, very logical. And again, that's why we complement so well. Mm-hmm. But going into that, I'm aware about, you know, the kind of person she is. She almost has no weaknesses, but I'm aware how to speak to her now as a partner, right? We over-communicate and everything. It's one of the most important things in our business is over-communication. And so we have these conversations and I think about how to say something in such a way that it will be received in the best possible way. I don't want any defenses thrown up. And so, you know, oftentimes I'll hedge. I'll say, you know, I see why this part of this business could be an incredible opportunity. However, let's think about what could happen in a worst case scenario where they took up your time, right? What are we going to have to sacrifice for that? And that does it in such a way that the idea gets through, and it never upsets her. And she's not one to get upset to begin with. I think I've ever seen her mad in my entire life. But still knowing how to communicate things as efficiently and receptively as possible is a very important skill with your partner.
So let's say, because I think this is a really important, a lot of important things you just mentioned there in terms of self-awareness. So if you are watching this and you're like, gosh, I really wish my business had these systems in place. Oh, I know, I'll do it myself. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to have the self-awareness that maybe you shouldn't. Just because you know it's a good idea and you think it's going to help because it will, doesn't mean you should be the one doing it. Maybe you need a Josh on your team to do that, which I think a lot of people should have their second in command. Not to do a plug, but we do training for things just like this. But why don't you tell us, so you get an idea, you run with it, it works for a while, and she needs you on other projects that are new. How do you then encapsulate this for your teams to actually keep alive or keep going? What do you have, a certain tool set or methodology, or do they write, like how do you actually put those in place?
Well, I would, for one, every single business is going to have its own unique challenges and its own unique systems, right? There's nothing that's going, you can't use the exact same systems, project or business to business, except for a few things. One, like these meetings, right? The strategic identity documents, the expectations and responsibilities, all of that's the same. But pretty much anything else is going to be very unique in the way you handle it. But there's a tool for just about everything. Mm-hmm. And you can find employees for just about anything. And so our idea going into something is always to systemize it as quickly as possible, because we already know ahead of time we're going to drop it, or not drop it, but make it to take up as minimal amount of time as we possibly can. Right, the business might not reach its maximum potential in that case, but it's a business that we want to do better than mediocre. We don't want to put all our time into it to make it. We do have some projects. We would say this is our number one focus, and we want to make that a nine-figure business. Right, if that will become our main focus by far, we'll do minimal attention to the rest. So we're not individuals that want a subpar quality product, right? If we want to really make the best of the best, we'll go for it. But for those things that are just ideas and fun, we will systemize it, like the Amazon FBA business, right? I told you we spend maybe 15 minutes a week on it. And so when you say, how do we go ahead and encapsulate it and make it very hands-off, we're doing that from the beginning after the MVP, right? That we do that as soon as we possibly can. And there's a wide range of tools that you can use. And also, just creating the systems in that business from the get-go for your employees that you're going to hire. We like our systems to be so dialed in that we never have to, barely have to communicate with our, they don't have any questions, right? We still communicate with them, we have meetings, but they don't have to ask us questions because the SOPs are so dialed in. Mm-hmm. So we use tools like, I think a few tools that everybody should use, for example, are, you got to have, in my opinion, a landing page builder, something like ClickFunnels, lead pages, something along those lines, just to quickly create web pages, unless you want to, I've played around with raw servers on AWS and stuff. It just takes too long, if you want to build something quickly. I also recommend, when you're making systems, if you want to be lean, use a tool like Loom, right? It's free. They have unlimited storage. It's an amazing tool. It works well. You record yourself, you record your systems. And then depending on what the business has, you might need to use some things like Zapier or Integromat to build automations between different tools. I use Google Drive a lot. The G Suite is, it's $5 a month. You can produce an unlimited number of email addresses underneath that one G Suite for $5 a month. We've got one for all of our employees under one email. It's cheap, it's lean. And then you got Google Sheets to help create your own database. And you're playing around with all these things. You can build these systems very, very cheaply. And we have a couple project managers in our business, which I think is key, right? We have our project managers in the Philippines who are very experienced and pay them quite well. And they manage the teams for us for the most part once they learn these systems from us. Some other tools, ManyChat, any other bot software if there is communication with customers. But Google Drive, Zapier, ClickFunnels, those, you know, you got those, you've got just about everything you're going to need in terms of automation. If you have sales calls, things like Calendly, you know, it's another great tool, for example. But the project managers help a lot too. And so we always go to onlinejobs.ph, find really qualified employees. We hire very quickly, test them out. If they're not a good fit, we fire them. But, you know, we just kind of test almost in an MVP-like way, give them 1 to 2 months to prove themselves. And we found some incredible, really dedicated, smart, and honest people that way that have just really changed the game for us. And when they are doing the managing, then it takes things off our hands very quickly. And there's very few fires because of the SOPs we make.
With the hiring you do, it sounds like a lot of the hiring you do is international, Philippines. Are there certain aspects of your businesses that you want to not go overseas, or is everything overseas, or how do you distinguish between what you should send over there?
Yeah, so anything that is going to be an incredibly subjective and personable or interpersonal, like, you know, face-to-face communication, hired in the States, right? But anything that doesn't require very subjective analysis with a native speaker or face-to-face communication, then we'll go to the Philippines. It's, you know, but if we're doing sales, U.S. obviously, we're gonna use people in the United States to do our sales calls for us. Mm-hmm. And we've even got systems for our sales calls processes. I'll train our sales team. That any client relations, sometimes customer service, if it's very very high quality services for clients. You know, if we're talking, we have a $20,000 a month client, we're going to have, you know, people in the United States conversing with them. If it's our Amazon business and doing customer service via email, we're going to have that in the Philippines. So it depends on the quality we want in that particular case. Not to say there are, you know, our VAs in the Philippines aren't incredible quality. They just aren't the best with the syntax with the English language, nor face-to-face communication. Sometimes more than anything, it just feels lower quality to the client. And that's when we go to the United States.
So why don't you, just because the time is going through so fast, why don't you give us a system that you've put in place? I'd like to have every guest tell us about a system they put in place either in their business or in their personal life that made an impact. So do you have any stories to share?
Let me think of a few. So we have entire systems, and then we have SOPs. So about how much time do we have left? Can I have some?
We've got maybe 5-10 minutes left. And okay. So if you have it can just be one SOP. If you have a procedure that did something, that'd be great.
Okay. Let me say this real quick. So I recommend to just about anyone, any CEO like me, if they have the dedication of the time, it's very easy to learn how to program. Very basic, object-oriented, sequential programming. A language like Python, for example. It might sound complicated at first, but you can learn this in 1 to 2 weeks. And I recommend you do this because if you can tell a computer what to do, you can tell a person what to do, I promise. If you can think with the logic of a computer, then you can tell step-by-step a person what to do. And I write my SOPs much like a programmer would. It's so sequential, dialed in, there's no room for error. An example of an SOP that I was going to build one time was I asked one of my other business partners who is kind of lazy, not Liz, she's a hard worker, another business partner, he's lazy, but he's intelligent. But by lazy, he's the kind of person that would, instead of doing his homework, he would find shortcuts to do it and not do the work, right? Something like that. And so I asked him to do a very large task one time, and he said, well, can you just program something instead? And so I took my understanding of Python, and very quickly I was able to make a bot that could do what I wanted to do, which was going into walmart.com, scraping all of our orders and entering all the data into a spreadsheet for accounting purposes. And it was thousands of orders, and it was able to make a valuable asset for that business that's sellable and almost instantaneous, versus it would take an employee dozens of hours, if not days or weeks. That's an example of an SOP that I made in the form of a program, which is an SOP. A program is an SOP at the end of the day, and it was written in code. And then an example of a system is, we, you know, our business, I Build Your Brand, produces Only thing we do not only with that company is doing webinar funnels or automated sales funnels for some clients that we choose. And we've built a lot of systems for that business with things like the integrations between ClickFunnels and either EverWebinar or GoToWebinar, using JavaScript to automate some things on the landing pages. But we've made the whole system brilliant because you don't have to do anything to sell a product, right? So we have the ad that goes to an opt-in page. The opt-in page is all automated through ClickFunnels. They click that. They go to a thank you page. It hits them with emails. They get an email sequence over time automated through an autoresponder. They then go to view the webinar. We have a bunch of if-then statements. If they saw the webinar, do this. If they didn't, do this until they see the webinar. And then it takes them to the sales page. Of course, all that's automated as well. The checkout process, the scarcity, the timer, the bonuses. The webinar itself is automated, so we don't have to do webinars every week. And then even the whole fulfillment process of that product over time is also automated. And even our customer service itself is automated through Zapier and sending notes to our VAs if there's a question that needs to be answered. So that's an example very quickly of a big system. I could talk for weeks about that, but I've got 2 minutes if that.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite a lot. And I think the maybe part of why someone should realize listening to this is there's a lot of detail work to put all those pieces together to make that kind of a system. And so if you are interested in doing that, might not be worth doing it yourself unless you have a lot of time on your hands.
And, yeah. You know, some businesses I know of charge anywhere from $1 million to $25,000 plus perpetuity for building that kind of system. But we've automated it so much that we can do it much leaner and produce even higher quality than some of those services. So, but yes, they're very detailed.
Yeah, but effective.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, that certainly works, especially right now in the marketplace. All right. Well, Josh, this has been really helpful for me. I got a lot of pages of notes here, but what did I not ask you, but I should have asked you that you think our audience of small business owners would want to hear about in terms of systemization?
One thing you didn't ask me. Maybe one question you didn't ask was, you know, how do systems apply to like everything? And so what I would say is, you know, if you ask me how systems have changed my life, that was the question you asked me. Rework the system gave me a lot of very valuable insights. For one, I think that, you know, top of mind was one of the greatest insights for me. It's a very effective thing. Rework the system realized that, you know, we're human beings and we're going to have flaws like procrastination, and it works for creating procedures and systems and habits that are for a human being who has flaws. Now, what I would throw on top of that is in Work the System was really the most important thing about Work the System was that it is a way of thinking. And I think that's so, so critical. When you think with that kind, in that kind of way where everything's a system, where everything is a procedure on top of a procedure on top of a procedure, dialing down in a human being all the way to the cellular level, you have processes and systems going on being coded by DNA. That's the way everything works. And everything from business to health, I've used Work the System. I lost 20 pounds in 17 days one time because I had the system so dialed in, right? When I started my most successful relationship, I started it off with a strategic identity document, as crazy as that sounds, you know? And it's helped so much. And so systems apply to everything, and it's a way of thinking. And if you can think in that way, somewhat programmatically, then I think it can change your life in every way. So
that's very cool. I'm going to tell Sam Carpenter you said that, because that was his main thing is, the book does definitely go through how to do it. But the biggest thing is the mindset shift that he wants to make sure everyone gets, because that can carry you through so many things.
And I would say that is for that particular person, right? Again, self-awareness, you know, that might not be you that needs to make that shift. You might need to hire somebody who's going to make that shift or already have that mindset.
Yep. Cool. Well, where can people find you, Josh, if they want more help, maybe with their funnel, or they want to connect with you? Where should they go?
Okay. Easiest thing is, you know, for that kind of client, we like it to be very, very personable. So if you want help with that specifically, or really anything else, and it's very variable or subjective, just email josh@ibuildyourbrand.com. You can go to ibuildyourbrand.com as well. But you know, it's, we actually make it kind of hard on purpose to find how to contact us there. So,
okay. So josh@ibuildyourbrand.com. And it's a kind of a funny story. We get leads that are here at Worker System through referrals. We always get leads. And every day we're getting leads from Ty Lopez and his business. And I'm like, why, you know, where are these leads coming from? And long story short, Josh, you did some training on building systems, and that is the source of all those leads. So appreciate you for doing that. And the word, that was kind of, I was like, how are these leads coming to us? And they were through his trainings, because Josh is a pro at putting systems into place and trains people on it. So that was cool how we made the connection.
Yeah.
But anyways, again, if you want to reach out, Josh, send him an email. Josh, again, thanks for coming on the show. Thank you, everybody, for watching the podcast today. If you want a copy of this book, Work the System, you can get it for free at workthesystem.com to download the audio or the PDF version. If you want the physical version like that behind me, we can mail you one for free. Just leave us a review and then send us a screenshot of that review to info@workthesystem.com. And once a week, we pull a name out of a hat and we'll mail out a book. Otherwise, we will catch you all next week. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.